Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We're going to talk about the list. And the list is actually just the name of this program because there's a couple of lists I want to go over with you. And those lists are lists that people have put together in order to establish a free nation under God, a free government under God, a free people under God. And that nation is almost gone in the world today. The United States is not a free government. It's not a free nation. The people are not in control. The people are not in power. The people are not the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. They're actually a subject lot, worse than they were when they were in the bondage of Egypt, and none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who believe they are free. So I had to let you know you are not free now in the United States, in America. You're not free in Canada, you're not free in Australia, you're not free in China, you're not free in England. You are all subjects. And you can want to boast all you want that you're a free people, but you are not. And the truth is, you don't even deserve to be free because you've been slothful, and the slothful should be under tribute. That's what the Bible tells you in Proverbs. The slothful should be under tribute. And that's where you are. And you should be there. You don't own your land. You don't own your children. You don't own the first fruits of your labor. And most of you aren't even going to own the end of your labor. You're completely in bondage. Worse than anything that ever took place in Egypt, despite what you saw in the movies. And people are dying daily because of that. They're being worked to death. Children are being aborted because of the economic pressures of bondage. And you're not doing anything about it. And so you are condemned by your own apathy, by your own actions, by your own deeds. You are condemned. And there's nothing you can do about it but repent. And when you repent, you get the chance to start turning around and going another way than the way that brought you to this bondage. And when you go that other way that has brought you into this bondage, then God can run out and meet you halfway. But you have to actually turn around and start being a doer of the word. And you're not a doer of the word now. And part of that is because of the false religious teachings that are coming at you in your churches. And you're actually paying men to lie to you, to tickle your ears, and to tell you that you're okay and that you're saved because you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, while day by day by day you do absolutely contrary to what Christ said. If you're doing contrary to what Christ said, you have not accepted Jesus. Your salvation is not real. It is conjured up in your emotions and the support of men who are tickling your ears and seducing you into the dark side of the universe known as hell. And you need to repent of that. And once you repent and turn around, start going the other way. You won't be able to go all the way. I mean, you have gone so far away from Christ, you will not be able to get back without divine intervention. And that's the grace that Christ has promised. And you will have access to that grace, but you have to actually repent. John the Baptist said repent. The apostles said repent. Constantine said you didn't have to repent. You just get baptized. So you must be in Constantine's church. You're not in Christ's church. You've gone into Constantine's church, and you are far from Christ. So now you need to turn around. You need to know what that looks like. Did I turn around? Or am I just spinning my wheels in the same place? And so I was on a conservative group that somebody kind of put me on or put me on to, and I saw posts coming in on a regular basis, and I glanced at them, kind of skimmed them, and got a feel for who was on that. And then they started talking about something. Somebody posted a list of 26 items that happened to be the principles of liberty, they said. And in there they had things about religion and moral society, and of course an atheist on the group immediately complained about that. And we're going to go over that 26-item list eventually, but we're going to start with a 4-item list that was posted just recently, and I've been writing an article on the subject, and so I'm going to read some of those things to you and let you know some of the things that you're missing, that you're not going to get anywhere else. I mean, I know a lot of guys who listen to the radio and stuff and listen to different shows, and you don't get what you get on this show, on these other shows. It's amazing how little truth is out there. Bits and pieces of it, but bits and pieces of the truth are found in every lie. A good lie always uses bits and pieces of the truth. If you are going to make it in the days ahead, if you are going to strive as Christ said to strive, if you are going to seek the kingdom, you need the whole truth. The whole truth. That's absolutely essential. So we're not going to hold back on anything. We're going to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so God will help you. Because if you don't repent, He's not going to hear your prayers. He said that over and over again in the Bible. I will not hear you in that day. So you have to repent. And repent from what? What was the sin of the people? Well, of course, rejection of God. Cain rejected God, went out of the presence of God, and started a city-state. And he oppressed the people. Lamech oppressed the people. And that's the way they operated. They oppressed the people. And that's what's going on today. You're oppressing your neighbor. You are oppressing your neighbor when you send your kids to public school. You're saying, I want somebody else to pay for my child's education. And you say, oh yeah, I pay in. Yeah, you pay in, but if you have, what does it cost to educate a child in Washington, D.C.? It's over $20,000 per student they spend. Do you pay $20,000 in property tax that goes to education? Well, then somebody else is picking up your slack. And they're picking it up because if they don't, men with guns will come to their house. You live by the sword. You live by the power of the gun because you send your kids to public education. In order for those men to be safe when they come to your neighbor's house to collect for their church called the United States, that's their church. That's where they go to get take care of the needy of their society. They go to men with guns. See, at the church, you don't go to men with guns. We will collect, and we will distribute what we have to share with others, and we will help them homeschool, and we'll help them with home health and all this stuff. You know, in the Bible, it tells you, James tells you, go to the elders of the church if one amongst you is sick. Doesn't say go to the elders of the government that exercises authority one over the other. They knew they weren't supposed to go there because Christ said it was not to be that way with you. When he appointed the kingdom to the apostles, he said you were not to be like the princes of the Gentiles who exercised authority one over the other. Every single Christian that goes to the government for benefits is spitting in the face of Christ. They're saying, we want to go to the men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority one over the other. We're going to go and apply to them for our benefits. We don't care that he takes everything he gives us away from our neighbor at the point of a gun. We don't care about that. Besides, we don't need to because we're saved. We believe in Jesus. We don't believe in doing what he says, but we believe in Jesus. Lots of luck with that. You are a members of the Church of Satan. you are doing contrary. You are the adversaries of Christ. You are doing contrary to what Christ said to do. He said, feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. James says, pure religion is taking care of the needy of your society, unspotted by the constitutional orders and systems of governments of the world, not depending on those at all. What did you expect was going to happen when you turned your back on God? He told you. He told you, in your country, whatever country you're in, does the government have the right to take the first fruits of your labor? That's because you rejected God. They tell you that in Samuel 8. You reject God, he's going to be able to take the first fruits of your labor. So if that's what's happening in your country, that's because you rejected God. And he says it's going to get worse and worse and worse. He's going to take the first fruits. He's going to take the best of your fields. He's going to take your sons and daughters, for gosh sakes. He's going to expose them to DU. He's going to expose them to toxins and poisons. And they're going to get sick by the tens of thousands. He said that this was going to happen. And when you cry out, he says, I'm not even going to hear you in that day. But all you have to do is repent. Turn around, start going the other way. What does that look like? I can tell you what it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like what you're doing. Even those people who come to our the Living Network and start listening to the, you know, how we got into this mess and start following the books and audios that we present to show you step by step how you got into this mess. They're not doing it. Most of them are not doing it. Oh, they want to have a little congregational meeting here and there and all this stuff, but they're not really doing what Christ said. They're not doing what the early church was doing. Those were real men, real women. They put their lives on the line for each other daily. They pledged their wealth. They pledged their lives. They pledged the blood of their veins for each other in righteousness. They were self-sacrificing individuals with courage, consistency, patience, love, forbearance. They were real Christians. They weren't your Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning Christians. They weren't steeped in rituals and fables of, you know, like, if we do it this way, if we say these words, if we do this, then we're saved. They had to contend with real persecution, not just inconvenience. Oh, I don't want to do that. Homeschooling, that's so inconvenient. Well, it's inconvenient for God to come to your rescue if it's inconvenient of you to come to the rescue of your neighbor. You got to turn around. You know, the things that made this country great are just disappearing in this nation, and they're disappearing because you're addicted to those benefits that are offered to you by kings who exercise authority one over the other. You call them presidents and prime ministers and congressmen and senators. They are destroying you as a nation. And it's simply because you won't repent. You won't turn around and do what Christ said. You won't be the church established by Jesus Christ. You have to turn around. What was the first item on the list? He says the only reliable basis for sound government and just human relations is natural law. Now, most of you people don't even know what natural law is because you went to public school. We explain it in the book Covenants of the Gods, which you can read free on the net, but I'm not going to go through the whole definition of natural law. But natural law is the law in which contract law begins to operate. Contract law is what you're subject to today because you have made contracts with the government. They were constructive. Some people say they're adhesion, but the fact is either there's a contract there or you're a thief. Either they contractually has a right to take away from your neighbor to provide you with public education, health care, and all the rest. To contract, either they have that right or they don't. If they have that right, then you have a contract. And if you take the benefit, You've got the contract. Call it adhesion you want. People say, I haven't seen the contract. You're taking the benefit. So either you're a thief or you sign the contract. And they get you to sign all kinds of things. You didn't sign the Constitution of the United States. You weren't even a party to it when it was first put into place. The people weren't a party to it. But you're a party to what it created, which is the corporate government. And this goes for the people in Canada. This goes for the people in Australia. This goes everywhere. I'm talking to the whole world. Because the kingdom of God is everywhere. But it's only where men repent and turn around and go the other way. So what is this natural law? Natural law removes the need for hundreds of thousands of statutes and regulations concerning natural relationships and rights. If we were really at natural law without those contracts, covenants, and constitutions, we as individuals were dealing with each other through natural law. Now, natural law is also defined as right reason, but anyway, we'll get to that. There would still be laws needed to regulate some activities of the people, corporate laws, because corporations aren't natural beings. They're persons created by the state. And unfortunately, you become a person too, because you've applied for the benefits of the state at the expense of your neighbor, nonetheless. And that state is in debt. So you can't just say, well, I don't want to be a part anymore. Because while you were a part, it went into debt. You cannot leave without paying that debt. So now what, does Christ have to come back and get crucified again? No, you're in a mess. But there is a solution. If you start following Christ, he will provide a solution again. He doesn't have to get crucified again, but you might. There's laws that not, and so how does natural law, how do you decide disputes? I mean, there's equity and everything, but that's not a natural law. That's contract law again. Those are systems that are created by the relationships you have with governments. And you've got a lot of relationships with the governments. You can't even stand alone, and it's going to become more and more hard to do so. So you have to learn to come together as individuals and start finding out what these things mean. A free people claim their rights as derived from the laws of nature and not as a gift of their chief magistrates. Who do you think said that? Who do you think said that? That's Thomas Jefferson. He wrote that in Rights of British America. They get their rights not from the magistrate, not from the judges, not from the legislature. They get them from the natural law, the law of nature and nature's God. Law is based on simple precepts of known and recognized formats. That's what natural law is based on. You need to understand what those are and how those work. And how do you decide disputes at natural law? Well, 12-man jury of your peers from your community. That's how it would be. You don't elect somebody to rule over you, to exercise authority over you. That's a rejection of God. You settle your disputes because you are a forgiving people. You work these things out because you are seeking it on a regular basis. And that's what they did in ancient Israel. The families gathered together in groups of 10. They picked a minister, that's number 11. And he picked a minister, that's number 12. There's your jury to decide fact and law. And if they decide wrongly, you can appeal up to the other ministers. And they can't find you guilty. They don't have that power over you, but they can acquit you. Now, that's the way that government operated. That's the way it was in America at one time to some degree. But you're far from that. Your juries don't decide fact and law anymore. Why? Because they take oaths contrary to what Jesus said. When I was called for jury duty once, I wouldn't take the oath. They still let me sit in the jury box. When everybody else was taking the oath, I sat down. They knew it. They looked right at me. They just smiled. They knew I didn't have to take that oath. There's no statutory requirement for that oath, but you guys are all a bunch of hoop jumpers. You don't even know what you're doing. But you are in bondage. You're going to have to start acting righteously, seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness in the things that you do. Item number two on the list. A free people cannot survive under a Republican constitution unless they remain virtuous and morally strong. Now, I could dissect that statement to pieces. Under a Republican constitution, what the heck is that? You know, the U.S. Constitution is not a Republican constitution. It was to guarantee a Republican form of government, but it itself was a democratic, indirect democracy. But it didn't have any authority over the individual rights of the people. Not until you started applying for benefits and contracting with it. And becoming a person. That's what you are now. You're a U.S. citizen, a person. You've been demoted to the status of a corporation, except for you die and are subject to inheritance tax. When does a corporation pay inheritance tax? It doesn't, because it doesn't die. It doesn't pay inheritance tax. It doesn't die. It keeps on living. You know, Ford Corporation's still there. Ford's dead, but corporation's still there. Never paid inheritance tax. It has a decided disadvantage, and you gave it to them while you were going in church and singing. You gave corporations higher status than you. And that's why the corporate powers are there, because of your sloth. You tempted them by your sloth, just like Saul was tempted by the sloth of the people who rejected God. This is why your tyrants raise up, is because you're slothful. You're not coming together. The church allowed people to come together and take care of one another so that they were a separate body. And if you read the definitions of a republic, a pure republic, the people are separate from its government. That's right. And their government is titular, in name only. It has no power. Why? Because the people are exercising their responsibilities. You don't do that. You go down there and vote for a new king every so many years. Whether it's your prime minister or your president or whatever, he's your king for the next 4 years or whatever. They're, you know, I'm talking to all the different countries. I'm not politically active in any one particular country. I'm active in seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But the reason you fall prey to this is you lack virtue. You're not attending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Who said that? Who said those are the weightier matters? Christ did. But your preacher doesn't tell you about that. You're supposed to be tending to law, justice, mercy, and faith. Faith? Faith is in there with seeking law, justice, and mercy. You tell me you have faith in Christ? Well, then you must be tending to law, justice, and mercy. You're not. You give that job to somebody else. And you go off and watch the football game. Or go to the Hobbit. Or whatever it is that you're distracting yourself with. You should be slaves. You should be in bondage. Because you've been slothful. Now, some of you, I know, want to wake up. Some of you want to do what's right. But if you're not coming together with others to seek this on a national and international basis, then you're missing it. And you're missing it bad. And you need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to go the other way. And we're going to talk about some of those other ways and how to go those other ways when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. So you guys start thinking about it. Maybe I won't be so hard on you. But I might be. We'll be back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about this short list of four items that you need in order to help establish a free government. When this list was handed out on this group, we had an atheist who came on and said that, oh no, you don't need this. How is this even related to the purposes of the group, which is to have smaller government and with less taxes? And that's what that individual was interested in, smaller government and less taxes. And on the surface, I'm all for that. Actually, though, in one sense, because I understand the true nature of government, especially a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, in such a government, you have a bigger government. That's right. When the government is in hands of the people, the government is huge. It's everybody. Everybody's the government. You're the government, and they're not. what's happening is where you don't have a bigger government. You have a government that rules over you because you're slothful. And so therefore this small group of men rule over you. But in order for them to continue to do that, they become more and more autocratic, more and more authoritarian. And then they grow bigger and they start taking more and more and more. And that's what's so interesting about that 1 Samuel chapter 8, where he says, if you go and elect a leader that can exercise authority, which is what they were asking for, that is a rejection of God. That's right. Every time you go out on the polls and elect a leader who can exercise authority, you're rejecting God. Your vote is a rejection of God, according to 1 Samuel. He said, but we got to do something because these leaders, well, you've got to back up from the problem farther to see what you've created. You've created this golem, this huge clay contracted monster called a vast bureaucracy. And it's going around devouring who it will. And you know how you kill a golem? There's a little golem is a big clay monster, and it's in Jewish folklore, and it's created it by clay, and it becomes this monster. And actually what they're talking about is a corporation. And the United States federal government is a corporation. And, you know, and the governments of Canada and Australia and all these, they're all corporations. They are not corporations of, like the corporation down there, like Ford and the Guggenheim Foundations and these other corporations. But they are two or more people gathered together for a particular purpose under a pre-existing authority, like Canada is under the authority of the Queen. And the United States may be under the authority of the Queen as well, but it's certainly not under the people's authority. The people don't even really elect the leaders. But without getting too complicated, basically, you've created this giant monster, and he devours who he will. And they would put a piece of paper in the mouth, and there it had a particular Hebrew word on it. And if you take one letter off, it becomes another word. If you put that letter back on, it becomes another word. And I won't tell you what word that is, but that's how you kill the golem. And it has to do with the word truth. You need to have the truth. You need to hear the whole truth and prepare for it. And that's exactly what Patrick Henry said when he spoke against the Constitution and he spoke against the tyranny of Great Britain. And you need to know the whole truth. So anyway, this person, this atheist, couldn't see how this was related, these four items. And the first one was natural law. And of course, as I said, if you're operating with natural law, you would not need the hundreds of thousands of statutes that are ruling over you now, because law would be decided by simple basic precepts. You know, don't steal, don't lie, which has to do with bearing false witness and cheating people by bearing false witness. You don't need all the laws about false advertising and all that stuff. You just need it. Well, he didn't tell the truth. I rule in the favor of the guy who was being honest and responsible. You don't lie. You don't steal. You don't murder. You don't injure other people. But in order to depend upon a jury of your peers to decide fact and law, you need to find 10 virtuous men. Finding 10 virtuous men, that may be a trick. Because, you know, as I was saying earlier, everybody sending their kids to public school, they're not virtuous people. That's right, you're not virtuous. You say, I want to have an education for my child at the expense of my neighbor, and I'm going to send men out to his house and force him to contribute to my school. Most of the schools in America were private schools until the 1900s. Most people educated their children at their own expense, and they provided for the poor as well. And we had 95% literacy in 1776. It's better than what we have today. We ought to consider what is the end of government before we determine which is the best form. Upon this point, all speculative politicians will agree that the happiness of society is the end of government, as all divines and moral philosophers will agree that the happiness of the individual is the end of man. All sober inquiries after truth, ancient and modern, pagan and Christian, have declared the happiness of man as well as his dignity consists in virtue. Now, that was from a paper by John Adams. Now, this atheist was against this guy mentioning religion, and he says, oh, you're going to circumvent the Constitution by bringing your religion into our schools. Well, our schools is completely contrary to what men like Adams and Madison were thinking. Madison warned against the education being in the hands of the government. Yeah, they wanted you to have schools, but they wanted you to build them individually. You know, he did set aside land that was unclaimed by anybody else and said that if the government claims this land, it needs to provide that for schools. But it was already unclaimed land. It wasn't like it was taking out of anybody else's pocket. But they were to set aside land for schools because he knew schools were important. But he wanted you to build them. Even the early public schools that we hear talk about, people will say, oh, well, they had a public school in Massachusetts back in. Most of the funds that supported that public school were privately provided. There was some money that was provided through taxation of tobacco. And I oppose that. I think that was opening the tent to the camel. You need to build your own schools. You need to provide the education of your children, and you need to do it through faith, hope, and charity, which is what Christ was preaching. You cannot have a free government unless you love your neighbor's rights as much as you love your own. And that atheist, conservative, closet liberal actually cares about her free education more than she cares about private right, or she wouldn't be advocating public schools. You have public schools and a government that can take away from your neighbor in order to provide that. Before you know it, the government want to take away your guns so that when they go to the houses to take away the people's money and take away your sons and daughters, that they aren't met with people with guns. So they'll want to take away your guns. And to get you used to not having guns, the first thing to do is take away all the guns in the schools. Now, somebody sent me a picture this morning of a teacher lining the kids up to go into a school, and she was carrying a rifle on her back. The teacher was. She was in Israel. They had trouble with violence in the schools. And they told all the teachers, arm yourself. Bring your guns. They're all in the military anyway, and they brought their guns. The violence stopped. Like I said, they wouldn't have been entering into the school to shoot up all those kids and people if everybody was armed. I mean, they didn't go to the rifle range to do this. They didn't go to the gun show and try that. They went where they knew there wasn't anybody else with guns because they're cowards. You want to end the violence? Get a gun. It won't end the violence either, but it will cut it back. I mean, every place they outlaw guns, violent crimes go up. That's just statistically, that's the way it happens. You know, why do you think that outlawing guns is going to bring peace? Did outlawing alcohol bring sobriety? Alcoholism went up during Prohibition. Has outlawing drugs gotten rid of drugs? It's just made it lucrative to have a black market. The same will be true of guns. If you outlaw guns, you're going to have more violence. I mean, that's why Hitler wanted to outlaw guns. He wanted to make it safe for the bureaucracy that was going to exercise authority over the people. So anyway, Adams says the most important thing is virtue. Virtue. Did you, when you Well, we'll get to that, the definition of virtue. You think about it till we get to that. If virtue and knowledge are diffused amongst the people, they will never be enslaved. This will be their great security. That was Samuel Adams in our sacred honor. If you want to look it up, he wrote that way back. You can find it in the letters to James Warren. Virtue and knowledge, and you'll never be enslaved. Well, you're not a virtuous people, and you're not very knowledgeable. And so you have become enslaved. And you want to believe that you're free. So like Goat says, you're going to be hopelessly enslaved as long as you think that. And Christ came to set you free. Moses came to set you free. This goes for Jew, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, and Christian. Any form of Christianity. God wants you to be free people under His authority only. He doesn't want you killing and murdering. He doesn't want you taking. And He doesn't want you coveting your neighbor's goods through a socialist state. You cannot be a socialist and a Christian. You cannot really be a socialist and a Buddhist. You can't be a socialist and a Muslim. You cannot be a socialist and a Jew. And that's what's amazing is that Israel is a socialist state. Heavy progressive income tax on land and labor. That's usury. Income tax is usury. It's a use tax. You're taxed on the use of your own labor. These are bad things. They're against Christ's policies. And I'm preaching Christ. And you need to understand that. Now, that doesn't mean don't pay your taxes. You may owe your tally of bricks. You're back in the bondage of Egypt. I'm saying start getting unaddicted to the benefits that those taxes provide. Keep providing them for those people who need them, but you start learning to do without them. Yes, that's going to be difficult. But not if you come together with faith, hope, and charity. God will run out and meet you. You're telling me it's a long way back home. I don't want to walk all that far. Well, you're a prodigal son. That's the only way you're going to get back. But like I said, if you turn around, God will meet you. It will take a miracle to save you now. The country's in such a mess. The world is in such a mess. Thomas Jefferson warned, dependence begets subservience. In venality suffocates the germ of virtue and prepares fit tools for the designs of ambitions. You become fit for nothing but tyrants because you cannot sustain yourself as a society through faith, hope, and charity because you aren't being what Christ said to be, fruitful. God said, be fruitful and multiply. Christ said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you, talking to the Pharisees. I'm going to appoint it to another, which he did, the apostles, who would bear fruit. And the early church bore fruit. And as Rome collapsed, they survived and thrived. I do not think you will survive and thrive unless you start doing what Christ said. They formed a network that reached from Ireland to Africa. From the Far East to Spain, Christians were everywhere, taking care of themselves, taking back their responsibilities. And as Rome collapsed, that was okay. They had their own system, completely independent. Completely independent. Liberty must at all hazards be supported. Who do you think is saying that? Who do you think would say something like that? Liberty must be supported. Does anybody even know what your so-called forefathers were talking about? Not if you went to public school. Liberty must at all hazards be supported. We have a right to it derived from our Maker. God-given rights, endowed by our Creator. But if we had not, our fathers have earned and brought and bought it for us at the expense of their ease, their estates, their pleasure, and their blood. He's talking about the people who came here to America and faced the wilderness, carved a nation out of that wilderness, worked with the Indians, helped the Indians, and helped each other. Yeah, there were some that were oppressive, but that was spoken against time and time again by the righteous, and that's the righteous that made this country great. They were taking care of themselves and taking care of their families and taking care of their neighbors' needs through faith, hope, and charity. He writes that in a dissertation on the canon and federal law, 1765. I meant feudal law. Federal is the comes from the word feudal, French word for feudal. But that's John Adams saying that. That's where your rights come from God. And so if you give up your rights in exchange for benefits, you're throwing God's gift away. That's why I say you're spitting in the face of Christ. If you take your responsibilities to raise your children, fathers, teach thy sons, it says. It doesn't say fathers. Hire somebody to go to your neighbor's house, take money away from them to build a big fancy building, and give the responsibility of educating your children to people you don't even know, and people who will throw my name out of their school. And people say, oh, that's what we have to do is get God's name back in the school, get God's word, get prayer back in the school. No, get out of the school. The premise of public education is antichrist. It is forcing your neighbor to pay for your child's education. Get out of the schools. Period. Step back all the way, the whole truth. You can't be going to public education and saying, if we just say prayers in here, God will hear us. He already said that if you look to men who exercise authority to provide you with safety and security, that I will not hear you in that day. So even if you got to pray in your school, you're still abandoning Christ. We have to become doers of the word. Like I said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He's telling you, you have to become a doer. You will not be able to do enough. But you have to become that doer. And then by grace, he will save you. Because what you do will not be enough. But anybody saying you don't have to do anything but believe, they're a liar. They're satanic. They're an adversary of Christ because Christ said you had to be a doer. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will like him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. These are principles you need to understand. This is the list that Christ gave you. You need to become a virtuous people and stop acting so unvirtuously. We should do a whole show on doers, because we could take 2 hours and still won't have read every single quote in Old and New Testament. In New Testament alone, we could fill up an hour easy of all the places that says that you have to be a doer. You have to do. You have to keep the commandments. You have to. You have to turn around now, folks. Come together, turn around, start doing what Christ said. Third item in the list, the first item was natural law. And natural law is basically the law of nature, and nature's God. You have to start doing things the way God said. And that would do away with the statutes, that would do away with the bureaucracy, that would do away with public schools. You wouldn't even need local police department, because you guys would all be police. That's the way that works. You're taking back your responsibility. You're not saying you be in the law enforcement and I'll go watch TV. You're saying, and I can show you examples. The drugs were rampant in a black neighborhood back in New York. And there was violence in the street and everything. And the black Muslims, okay, we're talking the black Muslims, put on their suits, put on their hats, put on their hats and their ties, and they went over there and preached their gospel to the drug dealers. And they left the street. They went somewhere else. They found another block where people weren't active. And the streets cleaned up. You could drive through the neighborhood and you'd see, looked like war zone, war zone, war zone. All of a sudden you come to this one block and it's absolutely clean. There's no garbage around. The trees were, you know, green. People's houses were cleaned up. There was nobody getting shot. Everything looked neat. And you thought, like, what the heck? What happened on this street? People actually stood up, got responsible. Even black Muslims can do that. How come you Christians can't do that? You can go, I bet you, how many Christians would you find on those streets with all the violence and the drug dealing in the ghetto? The cops weren't going to come and do it, so they started doing it themselves. And then that actually spread to other parts of the community. And that's the way you have to do it. But you have to work at it. Don't expect somebody else to go and do it all. Now, we got a network that is actually growing. We have a huge amount of people on the network that are doing nothing. But we have other people that will actually sacrifice for one another. And we're looking for the shepherds. We're not looking for the sheep. Because Christianity is to be the shepherd of the nations. We are to show the whole nations how to do this. We have to do it ourselves. Christendom is a nation of shepherds. There are no sheep in the kingdom. Only shepherds. But we will serve the sheep. But the sheep need to be good sheep. You know, we used to have blackface sheep. We don't have any blackface sheep anymore. They all got eaten by somebody. Why am I saying blackface sheep? Because blackface sheep are not gregarious. They don't stick together. They wander off. They're like woolly pigs. They do their own thing. The whiteface sheep, the range sheep, they stick together. It makes the job of the shepherd much easier. So we're going to talk about some of these other advices given to us by men like Thomas Jefferson and everything. But we're going to look at the 3 and 4 when we return to Keys of the Kingdom.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.